Would you like to turn with me in the Bible, please, to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6, we're getting to the end of the book. And Paul gets very serious at the end of the book. So let's go into this. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's as far as we're going to get tonight, so we'll stop there. I discovered the reality of spiritual warfare when I was a very young Christian. And I'd only been a Christian a few months myself. And I was a student. And we were having a student mission in our university. And I'd been involved in a preparation. It was all, of course, brand new to me. And unfortunately, I had some more mature Christian friends who are still my Christian friends, which is good after all these years. And as it got nearer, and as we were getting towards the sort of highlight of the mission, I went down with a cold, so I really wasn't feeling great. And then suddenly I just got this overwhelming impulse to go home. I wasn't homesick. I was really happy at university. But I got this sort of intensity, this distressing intensity to walk out and go home. But I knew I had to be there for the mission. And I'd invited people, and this thing, this voice was saying, go home, don't stay here. And I wasn't saying exactly that, I mean, I wasn't hearing voices, but I was just sort of getting this sort of, you know, it's just in my mind, this thought, go home. I knew it wasn't right. I knew I had, my place was there. So I went to pray with a friend of mine, a Christian friend of mine, much older than me. I said, I just got this thing's happening to me. I was shaking. I was shaking like a leaf. And we both realized, I was a young Christian, but I was wise enough to recognize when Satan was getting at me. And I said, I just feel I'm getting got at. He said, I can see it. Let's pray. If we just pray together. And the thing went completely. The thing, the darkness, the distress, disappeared completely. And two of my friends became Christians. And they're still my friends to this day, and they're still walking with Jesus. And I realized then, you know, there are spiritual forces that will do anything to stop people becoming Christians. And as Paul builds up his book, his manual for Christians and how to live the Christian life, he's begun with telling us to sit in Christ. There's a wonderful little book by Watchman Nee, which I quoted from a while back, called Sit, Walk, Stand, which is a commentary on Ephesians. Because in chapter 2, verses 6 to 9, Paul tells us to sit, be seated with Christ in heavenly places. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So in other words, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We've got both feet on the ground in Bangor, but at the same time, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's where we belong. That's our spiritual authority. That's where we should live spiritually. We should be seated with Christ in heavenly places. And from there comes all the power, all the grace of God flowing through our life. But first, we've got to make sure we're seated with Christ in heavenly places and recognize that's our authority. That's our position of authority in the world, seated with Christ. So we sit, and then says Watchmeni, we walk. And chapter 4, verse 1, it doesn't quite come out in the NIV. As a prisoner for our Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. And as we saw when we were looking at that, it actually talks about walking the walk of life. I urge you to walk worthy of the calling you've received. Peripateo, to walk around, to live as you walk. So you're seated with Christ, that's your spiritual authority. And what happens is that spills over into the way you walk through the world. And he mentions it also in verse 17. For I tell you this and insist on it in Lord that you must no longer live, or literally you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. You must no longer walk like they walk. You must walk as someone who's seated with Christ in heavenly places. And 5, verse 2, he repeats the same thing. And walk a life of love. Walk in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. So, you're seated with Christ. You walk in the world with Christ. You walk as Christ. And finally, chapter 6, verse 11, you stand against the devil. You seat with Christ, you walk through the world, and you stand against the devil and his devices. Sit, walk, stand. Good. It works. I was born during the Korean War. Largely forgotten in the UK, although our soldiers fought there, and many of them gave their lives there. I only found out about it when I was in my mid-teens. Isn't that strange? I only discovered it. It was a forgotten war. I was at the pictures this week watching the latest Clint Eastwood film, by the way, and an interesting film. And in that, he plays a veteran of the Korean War, and the young people of the suburb never heard of the Korean War, which really annoys him, you know? Because he was there. He thought he's got the scars to show for it. Some wars are forgotten. They're remembered by those who are in them, but they get forgotten, and they shouldn't be. The spiritual warfare is ignored these days too by some Christians. We forget it at our peril. My aim tonight then is to make you aware of the spiritual war and how to stand firm in it. At least we begin. Jeff will carry on next week where I leave off. Okay? Happy with that? So let's look at verse 12. Let's get verse 12 up on the screen. We have an enemy. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. Now, of course, we do struggle against the flesh, and we do struggle against the ways of the world. But ultimately, says Paul, ultimately, our struggle is against the rulers, authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote this: I'm certain that one of the main causes of the ill state of the church today is the fact that the devil is being forgotten. All is attributed to us. We have become so psychological in our attitude and thinking, we are ignorant of this great objective fact, the being, the existence of the devil, the adversary, the accuser, and his fiery darts. The Bible talks about three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil, isn't it? The three enemies of the Christian soul in the Bible. But we mustn't forget, the devil does get at us. I came across this by a theologian. I've come across him a number of times, Danny. He's a guy called Gordon Rupp, I believe. He was a Methodist. And I always liked the stuff he writes. And I came across this quote from him. Down the centuries, the principalities and powers have assumed many disguises. Terrifying and deadly they are, sometimes sprawling across the earth in some gigantic despotism, at times narrowed down to one individual impulse in the mind of one individual man. But the fight is on. For believers fighting, there is a certainty of struggle to the end, but there is also the appearance of victory. Behind the whole world's rebellion and woes and sorrows is the spiritual fight. It's the fact that our world has fallen into the hands of an enemy opposed to God, the Creator. The shadow of evil is behind every enemy. And John Stott reminds us that there is no Geneva Convention in spiritual warfare. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's against the rulers, the authorities. But remember, please, that Satan is not God. He is not omnipotent. He is often mistaken. In Christ, he was humiliated on the cross and defeated. He's depicted as a lion on the prowl, but remember that lions are limited in what they catch, and even the king of the jungle misses more often than he hits. Yes, there is a whole hierarchy of spiritual beings at war with God, and they will attack us through instruments. It was a serpent in the Garden of Eden. And the devil's attacks can come upon us in so many different ways. The devil can use all sorts of situations, all sorts of people to attack us. But he makes mistakes. Actually, one of the big mistakes the devil makes is by being too obvious. Because as soon as Christians realize they've been attacked by the devil, they stand. Or we'll see, they stand, and he can do no more. A friend of mine, a colleague of ours, was working in Brazil. And they were dealing with a man who had been involved in spiritism. Not our British style of spiritualism, which is an object of fun as much as anything else. This was Brazilian Umbanda. It's a quite deadly form of religion, which actively seeks to for people to be possessed by the demon in demonic rites. And this guy had been up to that point a spirit medium. He'd been a sort of, kind of, I say witch doctor, that's not true, a sort of guy in touch with the spirits, reading fortunes and giving out all kinds of spells for people to harm their neighbours or to make people fall in love with them or to sort their many problems out. This whole guy's life was spent consulting demonic powers. And at some point he decided that he wanted to become a Christian. Of course, he had to leave the old life. But there was a huge spiritual fight over that because he'd been so wrapped up with the enemy. The enemy didn't let go. They had a fight. And my colleague was involved in his process. And they were praying for him as he was coming out of that, coming into the light of the faith. And in the midst of all this, my colleague's house got a poltergeist. And in one of the rooms, that things would start falling about, and you'd walk into the room, and the temperature of the room would just drop. Whack! It'd become freezing as it was in Brazil. And the room would suddenly go cold, you know? And they realized, and the dog wouldn't go near the room and things, and the dogs were upset. You know, it's one of the classical things as they were helping. So they began to pray, but it was just the devil, you know? And they prayed and they stood. And the devil realized, they realized at that point they were winning. And they kept on praying and the thing went. They went round the house and they prayed in each room with a group of people. They just prayed for God's protection on the house and the power of the blood of Jesus. And the thing went and the guy came out and that was good. So we are in warfare. The enemy is powerful, cunning, wicked. But he can't overcome Jesus. And he isn't God, so don't treat Satan as if he is God. But we stand. Our struggle is against flesh and blood. Verse 10 says this, though we have an enemy, we are on the stronger side. Chapter 6, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. There might be a tiger on the loose, but we're sitting on an elephant. Although I don't recall God is compared to an elephant anywhere in the Bible. But anyway, in my version, that's what he is. And I don't actually think devil's compared to a tiger either, but never mind, you get my point. And be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, Paul's actually used this combination of words once before in this book. And if you go back to chapter 1, verse 19, you see where it is. And in his incredibly great power for those of us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So these words, mighty power and strength, are associated in chapter 1, 19 and 20 with the resurrection of Jesus. Do you see where the power is coming from here? It's coming, the power we stand in is the power of the resurrection. It's actually going to make quite a good Easter sermon, isn't it? The power of the resurrection. And that's what we stand on, you and I. Now you think of that power that took Jesus from the dead and just blew open the tomb. Jesus walks away from death. Think of that power, yeah? That's the power that you and I have as Christians. It's a resurrection power. Stronger than death. Certainly stronger than Satan. We are held in the resurrection power of Christ. It's the power of a tsunami, the power of an earthquake, and it's the power that you and I are given when we become Christians. So back to Brazil. You gather a lot of my spiritual warfare experience have happened in Brazil. Happened to some colleagues of mine in Brazil, some Brazilian colleagues. One of the pastor's wives not in the city I lived in, the next state down, state of Mato Grosso do Sul. One of the pastor's wives kind of went off the rails. And she began dabbling in dark forms of meditation and some dark stuff. And everyone was worried about her. And then she went and she built a pyramid in the living room. And she said she's going into this pyramid to meditate and seek to channel the spirits. At this point, everyone realized that things had gone too far. So as she was doing that, a whole group of ministers and some of the seminary students from that town, that city, got together and they were on their knees praying. And they were just praying and praying. And this woman went into this pyramid she built. And as she began to meditate, this horrendous demonic spirit manifested itself to her. And there was a scream and she just ran out. And she just ran away from it all and came back to Christ. Fantastic power. Demonstrate that would just drive a demonic spirit out of hiding into that woman's life. And some friends of mine, a pastor, my friend and his wife, were living in a house in the city we lived in. And Pastor Domicio and his wife. And this Umbanda leader moved in opposite them in the street and began to hold sessions into the late of night with banging on drums and invoking spirits. And so he and his wife decided that they realized what was going on. So the next time it happened, it was about 9:30 at night, they got on their knees. They didn't tell the guy they were in pastor and his wife, and they just got on their knees in their living room, began praying. As this thing began, they were praying, this thing was going on, they're praying. And suddenly there were these mighty screams from the house opposite. And the door burst out. Everyone ran for the road and scattered. True story. And the silence, you know. So the next day, Demetria wandered up to the guy and said, "Oh, you haven't been having any of these, not going to have any more of these, meetings of yours?" And the guy said, "Oh, no, it's something went wrong, and so it's not going to work out." To this day, we don't know what happened in that room, but we do know it was the power of Christ. See, the power of Christ. So we are on the stronger side, and we are called to stand. Note that Paul does not call us to attack Satan. Do you note that? He doesn't say, "You take the fight to Satan." He says, "You stand. We're to do what God wants us to do. We're to obey God. And as far as Satan's concerned, what we need to do is to stand. I think too many Christians seem to think they're on this crusade against Satan. But the Bible doesn't tell us to do that in that sense. It says we are to stand against Satan. Satan will find you. You don't need to find Satan. And Satan will find us. It's weeks ago I wrote this sermon out. And Sunday was fine. Had a good Sunday. I woke up Monday morning and I felt dreadful. I mean, I felt so, so bad. I just could barely get out of bed. I had this depression over me. Everything was just, nothing was worthwhile. It was all a waste of time. Why am I bothering? That kind of thing. Just, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And wanted to be anywhere except where I was. I went right through Monday like that. And everything seemed to go wrong. Actually, things didn't go that wrong. I had some bad things happen. But just that Monday was a black, black, black Monday. Isn't that I don't like Mondays? Just it was a black day. And I just couldn't settle. I couldn't do anything. Come Monday evening, Susan actually says to me, "What's wrong with you, Peter?" I said, "No, what's nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with me." There wasn't. I didn't know what it was. You know, if I knew what was wrong with me, I'd have said. But I didn't know what was wrong with me. She noticed. You know, this wasn't my usual morose self. You know. I didn't know what it was, but I just felt dreadful. I went to bed on Monday. I just go to bed. You know. And I woke up on Monday. And I woke up on the Tuesday and I suddenly said, "Actually, Peter, what is this sermon you're preparing?" "What's this sermon you're preparing?" "Oh, yes. Stand. Be strong in the Lord and stand. Put on the full armor of God and stand against the devil's scheme." "Peter, you're actually preparing a sermon on spiritual warfare and you don't realize what you're doing. What's happened to you?" Of course, it is exactly what had happened to me. I remember exactly where did it all come from, where that darkness had come from, because it was quite extraordinary. And God said, "Yeah, Peter, you know," well, God didn't say it that loudly, obviously, in my ear, but, you know, just obvious to me, of course. What am I doing? Here am I preparing a sermon on spiritual warfare. I'm not expecting to have any spiritual warfare at all this week. It's all going to go swimmingly. No, it's not. "Peter, stand." So what did I do? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I told Satan to go away. In those terms, go away. Just leave me. In Jesus' name, clear off. That's all you need to do. And he went. I had a good week, actually, after that. It was a great week. But I needed to take a stand. Very quickly, because I am coming to the end of this. 2 Samuel 23:9-10. This verse came into my mind as I was preparing. I really do want to show it to you. This is one of the heroes of King David's army. Next to one of the great heroes was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahuite. As one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pas Damim for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated. But he, what did he do? He stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. There you are, that's what we're talking about. A guy who takes his stand against the devil and will not be budged for anything. That's what it means. Spiritual warfare means that. Taking your stand and not wavering from your purpose, not giving up, not turning around and walking away from what Jesus has called you to do, because the devil will try always to stop you. Conclusion. Ray Steadman wrote this many years ago. "Many believe that Christ has come into their lives by means of the cross. and the things which have bound them and blasted them and ruined them have been stricken away and they've been set free. But all too frequently they feel they've been set free to do as they please, to live as they want. But they are set free in order to battle. That is the call which comes to all Christians. We are not set free in order to enjoy ourselves. We are set free to do battle, to engage in the fight, to overcome in our own lives, and to become the channels by which others are set free. Thus there comes this call to us in this closing chapter in the letter to the Ephesians. We don't want to be Christians running away from the fight, being talked and bullied out of our spiritual rights in Christ, being persuaded to abandon commitments to marriage, to church, to the poor, to whatever it is that Christ is calling us to. We are to stand and honour our commitments to Christ and those to whom we owe a duty of care. And any voice that tells us to quit, we've got to recognise where it comes from. It comes from the devil, and we stand against him. Now there's more, a lot more. But I'm going to leave that to Jeff, who's going to talk to you about it next week, because Paul unpacks a bit more about how you stand, the weapons you need, things that will help you stand against the devil. And if you're just going to have, if you're having a bad time this week, could it be the old devil's getting at you? What do you need to do? You need to stand.